It's the BBC. Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry. It's the BBC. Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry. It's the BBC.
This is Mecha Dawn. You are listening to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. Peace.
Never running from the mission. On the heat up in the kitchen. See the light, we got a vision. On the ladder, escalator. On a mission to be greater. To the top is where we going. We don't care about a hater.
Slow it down for a second. Actually, best not, cause we might give him a chance to catch up. So,
let's go to the top.
Welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, coming at you across the web with the most exciting interviews and the best in Ohio State football and basketball coverage. Here's your host, Joe Dexter.
What is up, Buckeye Nation? Hello and welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, the show that will have a longer tenure than Brady Hoke, but our tenure won't be as long as his buffet line after his last game coaching at that team up north. Claire Crawford, Joe Dexter. Hey, we got to start it early.
I'm not supposed to be giggling this early in the podcast, bro, but it's Ohio State Teton Week, and I can't even hold it in.
McStink again is on the schedule every single year.
Did you just say Big Stink?
I said Mick Stink again. Oh, Big Stink, that works too.
Yeah.
They're up on the schedule again every year, the third Sunday of November. It's at noon on ABC. Claire, this is what it's all about, man.
The tradition. And especially when it's a home game, it feels different here in Columbus. And I can't explain it you can feel it in the air. You can feel something different here in Columbus when it's that week. And it's something that you don't have to live here in Columbus to experience. But if you've ever seen that game in the Horseshoe this week, it is something that's completely on a different – it's a different season. It's the one-game season that you'll never be able to replicate with anything else.
The thing about it is – the team that loses feels that all the way till next November.
All year, yeah.
It's entrenched in you, and it becomes what is important the next season to get that W if you lose. Well, for that team up north, it's been a lot of losing pretty often here.
Yeah. It's been a streak, a pretty good streak for them. A good losing streak for them, I should say.
They've lost 10 of the last 12 overall, have the Wolverines, and it's this is going to be an interesting game from that perspective because there's a lot of things for them to play for.
I'm not one of those people that believes that the rivalry is lessened if the team up north and the Buckeyes are not evenly matched. So sure, in 2006 when it was 1-2, that was the apex of how exciting it can be as a Buckeye fan to watch the rivalry game. I mean, that was amazing. So I get that it could be amped up a little bit, but it doesn't take anything away from it. both of these teams are going to give blood, sweat, and tears during that game, and they're going to give each other their best during that game, no matter where it's played, no matter when it's played. And the rivalry is always going to be there, no matter what. It doesn't take anything away that that team sucks so bad, which they do.
I mean, some of my biggest memories of the game are when that school up north stunk. You know, it's kind of funny because, like, I think back to a couple years ago and Zach Bourne just crushed Evan Gardner.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And Paul Keel, I'll never forget this. Paul Keels is on the radio and it was a rollout to the left and or from the left, and he rolled out back into the pocket. Gardner did, and Bourne saw that Gardner was going to be pretty much
a hero.
Fair game.
Yeah.
And so Bourne goes in there and crushes him, and Paul Keel says, "He planted him like a cheap flower."
Oh, I love Big Daddy Paul Keels. Oh, I love him. I would rather turn the television off and listen to him and Jim Lachey the whole entire time. And they still have the picture of Bourne standing over Gardner. Gardner looks like he wants to roll up into the fetal position and die. And Bourne is standing over him like, dude, you know you're my you know what. And it's still up in this beautiful mural in the Woody Hayes. And Urban Meyer actually said something about it, that group of seniors, and how amazing it was for them to come back from everything that was taken away from them and how great their leadership was and what an amazing group of seniors he had there. And he said, that's why you still see them around in the Woody Hayes. He said, that's when they come back to Ohio State, that's why you see them. They're treated like royalty because of their leadership and because of what they did for Ohio State. So,
well, take Bourne, for example. He moved from fullback back to his natural position of linebacker. He sacrificed twice for the Ohio State program. Yeah. So that tells you a lot about that squad that went undefeated. And since that point, that was a game where, you know, everything was on the line. There was no bowl game for Ohio State. Yeah. So since that point, I've felt a renew in the rivalry. Not that it was, when it comes to the closeness and stuff like that, not that it was away from it, but that kind of brought back this, considering where Ohio State was, it brought back that thought where how important this game is to fans, because it is everything.
It is everything. And again, Coach Meyer mentioned it in his press conference that he doesn't buy into the fact that, you know, you can lose every game and beat that team up north and you'll be fine, because obviously he knows he wouldn't keep his job if that was the case. But he knows it's extremely, extremely important. And that was Rich Rod's downfall there at that team up north. I mean, he really never bought into the fact, he was never an M man. I can't say it. He was never, he never bought into the rivalry. He said it's just another game. And that team up north fans did not like it, and it was not ever well received, and he really didn't ever kind of drink the Mason Blue Kool-Aid, and it was one of his major downfalls there.
So, over the last few games, the 10 of 12 for Ohio State, Scum won in 2003.
Okay, thank you.
It was number 5 versus number 4, 35-21 win in Ann Arbor, and then the 2011 game where they were able to escape with the victory in Ann Arbor as well. So those are the two games that they've won over the last 12 attempts, and that's, to me, it just speaks volumes to the different coaching situations, and we touched on it a little bit. Brady Hoke, probably this will most likely be his last game coaching the Wolverines. But when you look at the Ohio State side, what Jim Tressel was able to do in this rivalry, it continues with Urban Meyer today.
I agree. And I think that's one of the reasons that he was chosen for the job. Urban Meyer was chosen for the job, that he was an Ohio guy and that he was, you know, born and raised here and had roots here. So that was super important that he understood the rivalry and was part of it. He kind of told a story the other day. I think he said it was while he was in grad school. And he saw these sheets that were hanging down from the dorms that said Muck Fishigan. And at his press conference, he wanted to make sure he was saying it right. He's like, ooh, I better make sure that I get that right. And then he said by the end of the week, they had actually flipped it over and said it the right way. And then he said they had to come down. So he said he's very aware of the rivalry and had grown up as a part of it and had as, you know, much disdain for that team as anybody else. And then he said he's even carried it with him as a part of his coaching everywhere else he's been. So at Bowling Green, with Toledo, at Florida, with, he said, that team out west. He even talked about it in Utah as well. So the Ohio State-Wolverine rivalry is the best rivalry in all of sports, not just college football or Big Ten football. It's the greatest rivalry in sports.
So there's some people that disagree with that.
Of course.
There's some national writers that came out this week and said, all right, folks, that rivalry, the game, you know, that's probably third on our list. Actually, the Iron Bowl, Alabama Auburn's the best game, far and away. What? I was like, huh?
I'm speechless right now. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. That is so ridiculous. And I imagine from the outside looking in, it's hard not to believe that. But HBO made a whole entire documentary. HBO made a whole entire documentary on this rivalry and its importance. And its importance to sports and what it meant to not just Ohio State fans or not just Wolverine fans, but to college football and to the individual people involved and how far back it goes. I mean, that has to be something that really plays into the fact of how far back it goes in history and how it all began. So
I'm going to go all Kanye West right now.
And take over the mic?
Listen.
Oh.
That kick return on the field goal, the return for a touchdown, that was great. And I'm going to let you finish. But the game's the greatest game of all time.
You're so ridiculous, Joe. I don't want to be Taylor Swift, though. So.
All right.
Okay.
See, they put Army and Navy over the game as well, which I can understand from a perspective. But the game, the history, it's just there. And here's what they said. They said the closest thing you'll get to Alabama-Auburn is the similar burning intensity from each side is Michigan. Oh, there's five push-ups.
Joe.
Hey.
Dexter.
Oh, boy. Oh,
what did you just say? I can't enforce the push-ups. Okay. Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour listeners, I've mentioned to Joe that if he utters that nasty, ugly, disgusting word during this podcast, he's got to do five push-ups. So if you have any ideas out there, yeah, if you have any, five push-ups is ridiculous. That's nothing compared to what you should be doing for saying that word.
Isn't throwing up in your mouth after saying it enough punishment?
No.
See, this is what I need, Claire. I need that Muck Fishigan sign right in front of me to remind me.
You might still say it backwards. Okay. Somehow out there, Buckeye Radio Nation, you've got to figure out how to help me enforce his punishment.
Okay. One thing I guarantee, it won't be like last year. I think I slipped on a banana peel so many times because I said it so many times.
Okay. I'll try not to trip up too, but I'm really good at push-ups. So
yeah.
Actually, and I hate to say this because I really don't like second place, but I came in second at the Ohio State women's football camp in the push-up competition, and it was no joke. I mean, this girl that was doing it, I mean,
what?
She was ridiculous, the girl that won. Yeah.
How?
I mean, they had a push-up competition. It's at the very end of the camp, and you literally just drop down, like, full big girl push-ups, not the, you know, other sissy kind, and the person that does the most push-ups wins. And I came in second, and the girl who beat me really deserved to win. But at one point, just to illustrate, I have extremely long hair and I wear it in a braid if I'm doing any sort of like physical activity. So I'm down on the ground on the turf doing push-ups and I've got like Coach Mariotti like yelling in my face, like, come on, go. And it's just between me and this other girl. And all of a sudden I see a gloved hand. I'm like staring at the ground because I'm doing the push-ups. Gloved hand come pick up my braid for me and hold it up in the air. And I see whose pants it is. It's Brutus. And Brutus has got a hold of my braid while I'm doing push-ups so it stays off the turf. So that's something I'll never, ever forget.
Food gets in the way of success for Brady Hoke.
Yes.
You're here for you.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how that happened, but you know what? Second place, take it.
I know, dude. And I'm It'll never happen again. No. I'll never let somebody beat me at it again. I know. It's tough. I don't like admitting it.
It's tough for fans to admit upstate in that crappy state with the mitten that their football program is in some dire straits because of the coaches that they've chose to hire.
Yeah, it's a dumpster fire.
It's a dumpster fire, and now the hoaxster, the hokinator, is out of there. Yeah. He's probably out of there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no official announcement, but, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, they might as well just – he knows. He's got to know.
Our friend Ken brought up a memory of the game when Earl Bruce was fired and the team rallied around him and got that win for Ohio State. Yeah, you have to wonder if there's going to be any of that type of momentum for that team up north.
I don't know if they've got the kind of leadership that that team did. I mean, Chris Spielman was on that team when Coach Bruce was let go, and it was a big surprise. It was a big shock. And to this day, Coach Bruce is brought into the locker room before a big game, and he'll give like the pep speech, and that's how much he's still respected here as a coach. And a lot of the players still look up to him. Obviously, his grandson is coaching here at Ohio State, and he's still very well respected in the community as part of the Buckeye Nation. So I think there's part of that. And then, like I said, the leadership that was a part of that team, and they really came together. I think that team up north, I almost said it, is so broken.
Yeah.
And it's because of what's happened in the past and how recruiting has just gone downhill. They've got decommits and kids that are leaving the program. And it's just going to continue to be that way for a little while unless someone just really goes in and shakes things up. And it's going to take some recruiting. It's going to take some really strong recruiting to get it done.
One of the things that team up north is good at is their rush defense. They're one of the stronger defenses actually in the country. Somehow, some way, I don't know how, but when you think of the game, man, to me, some of the moments that you think about is running backs from Ohio State just punishing Michigan defenses.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
That gives me a warm heart more than Thanksgiving turkey.
Wow. Okay, good.
So I'd love to see that this week. I'd love to see that on Saturday.
I would too, and I'm interested to see what they've got in as far as their game plan is concerned, with the balance of the attack and how hot Zeke has been, and we'll see if they let them unleash the Zeke. Unleash the Zeke. I just coined that, by the way.
That's pretty good. It reminds me of is it Release the Kraken?
Yes, it does. He's a beast. He's a beast. That would be pretty exciting.
The Michigan
five more, dude. I almost didn't catch it.
The Stinkigan defense, rushing wise, is ninth in the country. They only allow 107 yards per game. Total defense, they're ninth in the nation as well, 301 yards per game. But passing yards, they're giving up about 200 per game. So that plays into the game plan that we've seen throughout the season for Ohio State. Now with some injury issues and questions at that H-back position, you wonder how that'll change. But I still think that this is a huge moment, too, for JT Barrett to step up and stamp his place in the rivalry, even though he's a freshman.
Yeah, and I think that Coach Meyer mentioned that Spencer might be getting to have some time at the H-back position, and especially with like the fun Wildcat stuff. We didn't get to see that last week. So we'll see what they do. Like you said, that's the great luxury behind it, is that they've just got so many guys that they can throw in at that position. And you're right, though. I mean, the game plan, especially with Michigan giving up so – oh, I said it! Okay.
I don't feel so bad now.
Oh my God, we're the worst. especially with their secondary being a little more lax, in contrast to their run defense, that will allow Ohio State to kind of have some leeway as far as game planning is concerned. It doesn't mean that they're going to be going to the air, but at least it'll keep that team up north honest as far as having to defend the rush.
One thing that will be honored 51 years ago, 1963, Ohio State defeated that team up north in Ann Arbor 14-10 in a game that was delayed a week while the nation mourned the death of John F. Kennedy. The defending national champion Ohio State Buckeyes rolled through that season a 9-0 record. Michigan ended that streak. Ah!
You, dude.
I don't even, I read the wrong thing that I was looking at anyway, so.
We are going to somehow, I'm going to make Molly come up with a punishment for you.
Oh boy.
I mean, it's going to be like photographic evidence for of Buckeye Nation to see.
I'm very nervous about that.
Okay. As you should be. Maybe that'll help you not say that word.
First of all, I'm twerking.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Second of all, I'm doing something crazy. I don't know about this.
Get your life together, Joe.
Okay. What I was trying to say was the history in this game, and we already touched on it a little bit, but you look at the Snow Bowl back in 1950.
Yeah,
you look at the games that really mattered. The one we talk about a lot when we talk about it is 2006. That, to me, as a younger person and you as a younger person, that's the pinnacle for me. I don't know about you.
The one versus two
in
2006? Yeah. I can't think of a better situation. And it was an awesome day. It was an awesome game at Ohio Stadium. It was amazing.
You know how crazy this game is? Going back, I know it's been in place 111 years, but that team up north has interrupted 5 unbeaten seasons for Ohio State. The Buckeyes have handed that team up north first loss of the season 6 times.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
That's pretty crazy if you think about it. And that's why it's really important. You know, they were kind of thinking about messing around with, you know, with when it was leaders and legends and when they're messing with East and West stuff to make sure that this game was the last game of the season. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason why it's just the pinnacle. There's a reason why they put it where it is. And it's really, that's one thing that I do believe I'll hang on to as a part of the rivalry that I think is really important.
A lot of people talk about the 10-year war. The game was on the line for 10 straight years with Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler. There's some interesting tie-ins with those two coaches. There is interesting tie-ins throughout this whole rivalry when it comes to the state of Mitten and the state of Ohio. I think that's what makes it so wholesome as a game is you look at some of the stories. You look at Zach Boren, who went to school in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
His dad was a major linebacker there. He comes back here, and as playing games for Ohio State, would write Bo on his tape and stuff like that because Bo had such a big impact on his life as a kid. Then you look at the whole fact that Bo is an Ohio guy.
Right.
You look at the relationship that Woody and Bo had. I mean,
it was special.
There's so many special things about this game that, you know, you look at the hatred and you look at all the things about winning, and those are important. All that stuff is great. But when you look at behind the scenes, I think that's what makes this game the game.
It is. And the fact that Bo and Woody were such good friends in the end, and that Bo, I believe, spoke at Woody's funeral, and they never hated each other. They hated each other's team. And it was probably one of the things, because they were such good friends, and I guess you can speak to this from a guy's perspective and how competitive guys can be with their friends, but that probably juiced it up even more, to use an urban term. It probably kind of amped it up another notch and made that hatred, like genuine hatred for that team and that state, even up another level. I don't think any of us will ever see that replicated again.
Right, and you can speak to it, too, as a competitor.
Yeah.
I mean, how many competitors, and as a wrestler for me for 16 years, a lot of the guys that I competed against, like, I did not like them when I competed against them, but there was a mutual respect.
Right, yeah, and absolutely. And that's part of it, too.
It definitely is, and I think that, I hate to say it, but I think you got to give that team some respect up there.
You have to. And I think we would both be really unsure and nervous no matter what that team is bringing to the table this week.
Right.
Both of us would be nervous if Urban Meyer was very, like, nonchalant about this game if he didn't give them respect, if he didn't believe that they were going to bring their best to the table. Right. I mean, I think both of us would be like, oh, that doesn't feel good, or that doesn't feel like that should be part of this rivalry. And part of it is you have to, no matter how bad they suck this year, or no matter what they've been through, or how bad their coach is, you just have to, because there, I mean, like last year is a great example. I mean, last year's game literally came down to the last,
to the wire.
And, right. Right. And Hulk kind of made a gutsy decision that didn't pay off. It was a gamble, and Urban Meyer did, and it was a little too close to comfort for me. So I think I hope that they are playing that through their heads and over and over and over again this week, and how much respect that you have to bring to the rivalry.
Nothing's a gamble when you get roast rump after the game.
Roast rump. Rump roast.
Rump roast. Roast rump. It's all the same to Brady Hoke. It all goes down the same tube.
Oh, God. He's so gross.
Urban Meyer had some interesting questions that you covered in the silver bullet points by the media this week. As you said, he said, this is not any game. This is the game.
The game.
But somebody asked him, how are you making this week fun for your players?
Oh, my gosh. His answer seriously is my favorite ever.
Well, he said, I'm not sure how to have fun. Fun yep. is singing the fight song after a win in the locker room.
How like, perfect is that?
What if you're Urban Meyer, you step away from the mic after the press conference, like, what's your first thought? Like, seriously?
Right. It should have been a mic drop at that point. Like,
we're not playing tiddlywinks.
This is not fun. Right. We're not going out there to have fun. Like, it's your job as a fan to have fun. Like, people do all kinds of contests this week. There's always a big blood drive this week to see who can give the most. It's not Urban Meyer's job to make this rivalry fun, or this week for preparation fun, because I think that gives his team the illusion that this is just kind of, like you said, like we're just going out there messing around, and this is not a messing around type of week. And again, it harkens back to what we talked about last week. They talk about, oh, do you have to get your team up? You know, do you have to motivate them for Indiana? And he's like, this is a smart group of guys. I don't have to do that. I don't have to be creative with that. And they understand. Now, there's certain stuff that they do tradition-wise, and they've got an LL Cool J song on loop, apparently, throughout the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
I think it's and, like, War is On or something like what?
I can't remember. Something very aggressive.
Here's the crazy story. I've never listened to LL Cool J before this week.
Okay.
And so I had to pull up this song, man. It is on my iPod.
Already. I got my JD in the gym.
It's time for war. It's time for war.
Maybe I have, and I just don't realize it.
You better.
I'll look it up on my iTunes. Yep. I'll look it up. But yeah, I don't think any of them need to be motivated to be excited for this game. And like Urban said again in his preference, he's going through stuff all season. So, and Woody was notorious for that, and Jim Tressel was notorious for that, is going through something either every day in practice, or going through something once a month, or, you know, in spring ball, or whatever they have to do. They're not just using this week to prepare for that team up north. They're doing a little something all year round to prepare for this team.
You know, the thing that sticks out to in mentioning what you said, this young team, played in the game last year to that 42-41 win. You're telling me that some of these guys don't remember the things that happened in that game that shouldn't have?
I hope they remember.
Michael Bennett has been pretty vocal about things that happened in the game. He doesn't want to see that happen again. It's been on his mind, and he said it's annoying.
Good
to see Devin Gardner be able to do what he did with the short screen passes they ran and all the little dip and dunk type plays that they had. These things are going to be on these young players' minds. This is a game where legacy is born.
Yeah.
Legacy is born here. You look at Troy Smith and what he was able to do starting in the rivalry and build up all the way till he graduated. There's guys, JT Barrett, Jalen Marshall, Ezekiel Elliott, keep naming them. These guys are burning their legacy into this game starting on Saturday, and It's just cool to see that. That's one of the cool things about having a young team.
And I know that, like, folks like Joey Bosa is not a senior, but he certainly is a leader. He's definitely a leader. And as Joey Bosa goes, goes the defense, I think, as far as his attitude and his production. And I think teams have figured out they can double up on Joey Bosa. But then that means Washington and Bennett have been having these, like, career games. So, and I think Joey knows that as a team player, that's something that he's got to do and continue to do. And he knows that he's just got to grind it out and be part of that. I hope that they just put him one-on-one, stand him up, and then he just eats Devin Gardner's lunch.
Oh, man. Why so serious?
Right?
You tell me you want to get a guy motivated? You don't have to. Joey Bosa wants to put his "why so serious" look taking down Devin Gardner next to Zach Boren. That's what he
wants to do.
That's
what I was thinking. Like, he's gonna be on the mural. That's all you gotta say. He will be part of that mural someday, that's for sure.
Man, I want to jump through a wall right now.
Can you imagine? I hope that's how they feel. And I think I saw something about Hoke saying he wants to make sure his team doesn't peak too early this week.
What?
So I don't think that's going to be an issue. I don't know.
Here's one thing that Buckeye fans need to worry about. Okay, they've given up three straight on defense. They've given up three straight 100-yard rushers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little nerve-wracking, but look at the guys that they face. They face Langford. They face Tevin Coleman. They face Cobb. Those are true running backs. I don't see that team up north saying, "Oh, here, we found this guy in the corner over there."
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be an issue. And again, like you mentioned, and I think I posted something the other day about all these amazing running backs that are coming out of the Big Ten right now. It's pretty, I mean, like the Buckeyes, hopefully, as a Buckeye fan, you're wanting to face Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. And that'll be decided this weekend, too. The Minnesota-Wisconsin game is going to be a big one. We want to root for Wisconsin, but I mean, it would even be better if it was a close game, I think. It doesn't need to be a blowout for it to be. But I think, you know, they'll be facing Gordon at that point. They've had to, like you said, Langford and Tevin Coleman. And, you know, Zeke is part of that conversation. And, Abdullah, they've not had, you know, it's just – and amazing these backs that are coming out of the Big Ten, and these are guys that will be playing on Sundays. This is not just a random, this is the defenses that they faced in the Big Ten that were lax. No, these guys are legitimately beast mode.
You can throw Devin Gardner in the – oh, wait, he plays quarterback. Oops. Oh. Here's a serious question for you, though.
Why do I have a feeling you're not serious?
No, it's serious.
Okay.
Heading into the game this year – Put everything away besides that, and you take these Big Ten running backs that we have. I would rather have Ezekiel Elliott than any of the other guys. Am I crazy?
No. No, you're not crazy. I'm not going to turn any of those guys down. I mean, most likely they were recruited by Ohio State. So... I mean, maybe there's a reason that Coach Meyer didn't, or maybe there's a reason that they didn't choose Ohio State. But for whatever reason, Zeke, to watch him just emerge this season, not just emerge as a player, but I mean, to watch him play with such intensity, and he's constantly falling forward and constantly getting that extra 2 and 3 yards after the catch or yards after initial contact. And it's really awesome to watch him play, really fun to watch him play. You hold your breath when he gets the ball.
One thing about it is that Melvin Gordon is a fantastic running back. Amir Abdullah is a fantastic running back, but there's so much that we haven't seen yet from Ezekiel Elliott, and it's games like this where we see things like that.
Yeah, watch him come out.
And I'm expecting a big game from him. Maybe I'm a little bit too hyped on what he's been able to do this season, but that's a special player right there. That's a player that is got a bright future in Buckeye Scarlet and Gray. That's all you can say. And I think that as a fan, sure, I'm slighted a little bit, but I would take him over Gordon. I'd take him over Abdullah. I'd take him over Langford. I'd take him over Todd Gurley. I don't know. I'd take him over anybody.
And it's hard, too, to compare his stats against everyone else's because the Buckeyes have a more balanced attack this year. They have more weapons than they've ever had in the past. I mean, it was great to have Carlos, and Carlos was the workhorse, but Braxton was like the other rusher on the team, and it wasn't as balanced of an attack just because of the weapons that were not as developed as they are this year. So the fact that the Buckeyes have the ability to have a more balanced attack might be leading to the fact that Zeke wouldn't have as many touches, and they don't want him to have to. Coach Meyer doesn't want him to have that many touches. I think 25 tops. So, I mean, depending on the day and depending on the defense they're facing, but that's probably why some of the other backs are getting a little more as far as stats are concerned. But I mean, you can't, poor Gordon with his 1 week record, you can't say that that's not something special, a record that's been single game rushing record that was broken after 15 years. So
the thing that's crazy is he's probably going to Coach Anderson and being like, dude, I could have played the fourth.
Right?
I could have played that fourth quarter. But he's a special back, and so is Abdullah, and the rivalry they've created against each other. But I think the thing that goes understated about this Ohio State offense is because we look at that passing efficiency, it's the third best in the country. We look at the way they score, and it's fast, and it's getting the ball in the air. But what people don't know is this is the 13th best team rushing per game in the country. They're the third best nationally in third down conversion rate, which is huge.
Yeah, and it's something that's really makes it a lot more fun to watch the football game because that's one of those things that's really frustrating to not be able to convert. And our special teams are having shades of greatness this year. And then shades of some really need for improvement. So I think once that comes together, they will be a really complete football team.
One thing that will also be happening at Ohio Stadium on Saturday besides the game is the honoring of a man that has dominated the game in Troy Smith.
Yeah, buddy.
We talked about 2006 already, but when it comes to me, the precedent has been set by Smith for Ohio State quarterbacks for years and years to come.
And it's, I think, not somebody anyone really expected to step into that role and to be that type of player. I mean, if you look at Troy Smith and even like his body type and the way he plays or started to play at Ohio State, I don't think anybody expected that to happen. And he is so special what he was able to make happen. Just one of those, and it's kind of a cliche to say dynamic player. But you see people, and especially in quarterbacks, especially to watch them be able to scramble and to the true measure. I mean, other than the obvious stats of, you know, their quarterback rating is to watch them make something out of nothing. So, you know, it's awesome to watch how efficient the offensive line is for JT Barrett and to watch him be able to have time to make the plays. But when things break down, it was so special to watch Troy just make a complete lemonade out of nothing whatsoever. It was amazing.
His jersey number 10, will be honored and enshrined in the lights at Ohio Stadium at halftime of the game. To be able, one of the things I love about Smith is when he talks about this game, he talks about the passion of it. He talks about the rivalry between two teams, and then he always throws in there, this is a great game, and I love it. I know I love to win. I don't know what it feels like to lose against that team up north.
He has to throw that in there. He's a 3-0, right?
Yeah, and just a fantastic, you can throw him in the names now, and I don't think that people really did to an extent, but you can throw him in the names with the Heisman winners because he's up in the rafters now. You can throw him with Chick Carley, Eddie George, yeah. Archie Griffin, Hopalong Cassidy. These are names that have built Ohio State football, so now that we move on to the next era in the Urban Meyer era, we realized that there were some very special players that continued to set that tone under Jim Tressel, and Troy Smith is at the top of those players.
Yeah, the legacy that he's built because of it. And he's a classy guy. He's really done a great job of being an ambassador to Ohio State. And the fact that it was very public that he was not perfect, and that Coach Trussell was able, he speaks and even just said it with the media this week about Coach Trussell showing him what it means to be a man and showing him what it means to come back from adversity. And it's awesome to see a young man like that change his life around. And as much as I really dislike Florida State and what Jameis Winston is going through, I wish he had someone, some sort of counsel, someone like a Coach Trussell that's going to make him accountable and hopefully not let him get away with that stuff anymore, because I don't think that anyone down there is doing that for him. And it's a detriment to him. And I think, it happened with Maurice Claret. He went through a really rough times, obviously, and made some mistakes and could have come back for it. And he had his chance to do so. But I don't think he had the right folks around him at the time. And who knows what his journey was or his path was. But Troy Smith was fortunate enough to have the right counsel around him and the right people around him and have the fortitude to be able to come back and, again, be an awesome ambassador for Ohio State and football and what it means.
A lot of people talk about his ability to make plays, and that was great. But the one thing I always take away from it is, and I remember this watching him, is so accurate with his throws.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, 63% of his passes were completed. That's the second best in Ohio State history.
Yeah.
And so pinpoint with his passes, but also a playmaker. You combine those two things, and you start to wonder, what if he came in like 2011?
Right.
What if he was in that Urban Meyer offense? How crazy would that be?
That'd be a lot of fun. And that's Urban Meyer's type of quarterback, too. He loves to watch that. So I think it would be a lot of fun. Oh, my gosh. Those what-if games are so much fun.
So the question now becomes, with JT Barrett stepping in as a freshman, his chance to put a stamp on things. He's broken a lot of records that Troy Smith set. Can you see him starting something where he makes this game his?
I think so. I mean, it's tough to say that as a freshman. I mean, it's unbelievable what this young man has brought to the table, and even his leadership. And anyone that's been on the sidelines or that's commented about JT Barrett is that he's just ice cold. I mean, just unshakable, unrattled. You cannot rattle him. And it's amazing to watch the maturity in this young man and to think about, like, think back to yourself and how you were at that age. And would you have been able to carry that amount of pressure?
I couldn't even tie my shoes.
Can you now? Bare. Are they Velcro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody, all right?
I won't. It's just between you and I. But yeah, I mean, the amount of maturity that he's been able to bring to the table is unbelievable. And I can't even imagine having to deal with all the other stuff that comes along with it, with going to school and being a student athlete at the same time and all the pressure and everyone that's kind of throwing things, a million things at your way and trying to get your attention. For him to just be, I feel like he's got the blinders on and he's really, really focused on doing the right thing and making his coaches happy and being a teammate. And I think this chance he could have a signature game. And with all the records that he's broken so far, it's pretty awesome for him to just be able to be like, okay, this is my mark.
Some marks have been set by the senior class of Ohio State that will be playing in their last of the game on Saturday, and 24 graduating. We talk about that class that didn't get to end things by going to a bowl game that really solidified Ohio State football and the character they brought. Well, this squad has been part of 34 victories in the last 37 games. They're part of that record 24-game winning streak. As Urban Meyer said in his press conference on Monday, their legacy will be written as the games are written the last few weeks upcoming here. But there's some players in this senior group where we're going to remember them. We're definitely going to remember them.
I think so, too. And, again, they've got a chance to make a big impact not just for their team, but for their legacy too. And it's really, really important. And the other thing about this team, as much as they've won, the contrast for them knowing what it feels like to lose.
Yeah.
and how and the fashion that they've lost is just fresh enough in their minds to never want to feel that way again. And I remember watching the press conference after the Virginia Tech game, watching Coach Meyer look deflated and not heartbroken, but just deflated and look like uncomfortable. Like, it made me have confidence in him as a coach, knowing that he didn't like the way that felt and he didn't like losing and that he was not going to stand for it. And I hope that these seniors and these leaders remember what it's like, and even to remember how close it was in last year's game, and to remember and take that and ball it up and be able to just explode all over that team up north.
One player that sticks out to me, the one senior, and we all have our favorite seniors, Jeff Heuermann, what he's brought to the table. There was a void that needed to be filled when Stoneburner graduated.
Yeah.
And he stepped right up.
He sure did. He stepped right up. And it's exciting, too, I mean, to watch what Nick Van Nutt is going to be able to do for him. And they're using him, Heuermann, like an NFL tight end. It's really fun to watch, and it's fun to watch him as part of the weapons and all the God, he's a great blocker. It's fun to watch to see what he can do, and again, like, be one of those players that when he gets the ball, you know, he's just going to muscle through it in coverage, and I can't imagine trying to defend him.
It's going to be interesting too to see this team, once the season's over, move on next year without the combination of Evan Spencer and Devin Smith.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see, too. I agree.
There's two players there that may be a little bit underrated in their history here, maybe didn't get things done that people expected of them, but they're two cognizant players that come into a system and they develop into the system, even though they might not necessarily have expected that.
And, you know, they're Urban Meyer guys, and they've bought into the system. And I think that Devin Smith, with him being known for the big play, will be one of those things for him, and that's how he'll probably be remembered. But I know that Coach Meyer is really, really happy with what Evan Spencer has done and what he's done for the team and how selfless he has been, apparently. And some of that is stuff that we don't see. Right. But it sounds like, again, they'll always be respected.
I think the one player I will remember most from the senior class is Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
Because the way he's developed as a person, I think, is a more fun story than even what he's done on the field.
Yeah. And his leadership is really, really important to the team and that D-line. It's super, super important. And I love it. He's the glue.
Yeah. The glue. Two other juniors will be moving on to the program as they'll graduate, as juniors Chris Carter and Antonio Underwood move on as well. So best wishes to them. You see guys like juniors step up, and they're fourth year juniors, but they're able to graduate. They're able to move on from the program. Congrats to them, man. Just congrats to Antonio Underwood and Chris Carter. You know, maybe they didn't fulfill what they wanted to on the field, but they are great representation of Ohio State.
And again, I don't think that if you ask them that they would ever take back that experience of having the education that they have now and under their belt. And it's still really important for them to continue to be a great ambassador of Ohio State football. It's really important for them to be able to use what they've learned through on the field and some of the stuff that they've gone off the field and take that into the communities and take that into the business world or take that to the next level if that's their wish. So I think that's something that, you know, I can't speak for them, but I'm sure that that's not something that they regret. And I'm sure that they gave it their best. And if they didn't, if they wouldn't have given it their best, Coach Meyer wouldn't be, recruiting them. And it's just that their best wasn't as good as somebody else's best. And again, I doubt that they'll ever regret their experience here at Ohio State.
One player that hasn't struggled on the field but struggled off of it is defensive lineman Noah Spence. The Big Ten officially ruling that Spence ineligible for the remainder of the season. But hopefully, as Gene Smith released in a press release, the athletic director for Ohio State, they're working with him, they're working with his family, they're trying to get things straightened out for him. So hopefully he can move on from this and we'll see what goes on from here.
Yeah, and I know that Urban has been really vocal about his support for Noah, and it's something that you don't always see when a player is in trouble. You know, they get in coach jail, you know, when they're not behaving or they're breaking team rules, and you can tell when a coach is kind of writing them off. And you know, Urban Meyer's not. He's seen the potential in Noah Spence, and it's tough to watch him kind of crash and burn as a person, and knowing the potential that he had and knowing how gifted he was as an athlete or is as an athlete. And I know that Coach Meyer and Gene Smith are working very closely to make sure that he stays on the right track and that he still gets a good education. And it's hard because there are some of us that are paying a lot of money in student loans still, right, and that we wish that we could have a scholarship. But God, if any of us have made mistakes, I mean, we've all made mistakes. And again, like, time after time, somebody like Jameis Winston is making mistakes and he's not necessarily being punished for them. And I think that they're not doing him any justice. And Noah Spence is being punished, and rightly so. And it's still, there's an old fashioned saying, you don't need to throw the baby out with bathwater. And it just means that Noah Spence is a person, and he still, you know, needs an education to be successful in the next level of his life. And that that's how much Coach Meyer really cares for him.
Yeah, it's a tough situation to see, but in the punishment, you know, it's, you hate to see a guy go through that, but we all live through those punishments, and we all learn from them, and we've all been there before.
Yeah.
In different situations.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not popping Molly, Joe. Oh,
okay. All right. Well, you know, sometimes I have fun weekends. When can
okay.
I say? But
I have a hard time seeing that.
It's good to see that he'll be able to move on, and the situation has been handled the way it has. Whatever was deemed right was deemed right, and it's time for, I think, both to move on and either grow from it or disconnect from it.
Yeah, and maybe growing from it is disconnecting from it. So I mean, I know that these guys get a lot of attention, and they've got, you know, people are constantly wanting to do things for them, and it's glamorous, and I mean, I'm sure it's difficult as well. But I'm sure it's easy to get caught up in like a rock star mentality. And some of that comes along with, unfortunately, substance abuse. So let's just, and I hope that, you know, the folks like the success story behind Josh Gordon at the Cleveland Browns, and what he's been able to do, and hopefully come back and rehab and be a successful part of his team again. And neither one of us are Browns fans, so we're not really applauding that all that much. Right.
Right. Right.
Okay. but he is a success story, and it's awesome to see him be able to come back and make an impact again. And hopefully Noah Spence can learn something from that situation.
It's number 6, Ohio State, taking on a team that I think will stink again.
I hope so, buddy.
ABC, noon, Dave Pasch, Brian Griese on the call. I wish Chris Spielman was on the call.
Me too.
Man, can't they have both? Why don't they throw away the sideline
Greasy
guy?
Ants. Okay.
And we have a 3-man booth. And then at halftime, Greasy and Spielman just battle it out.
I was going to say, they would get in fisticuffs. Spielman would dominate that, though.
Oh, man. That'd
Spielman's
be fantastic.
In great shape.
Oh.
He's one of my faves. Seriously, like one of my favorite people of all time. I know Chris, and he's just an awesome, awesome person, and he's seriously one of my all-time faves. He's a character. If you've ever met a character, it's Chris Spielman.
As we played in the intro of this show, Spielman was contemplating going to that team up north.
He was, and his dad said he would disown him.
His dad said, don't come home.
Yeah.
Good luck.
If that's not loud and clear, I don't know what is. And aren't you glad he's on the good guy side?
I am glad. And you know that's, again, it talks about this rivalry, the game, and what it means. One thing we didn't talk about heading into the game is the Ohio factor. You know, maybe I'm a little biased from this side of the spectrum, but
okay.
a lot of the good players that went to that team up north are from this state of
It's true. And they still recruit from Ohio, and they're still grabbing kids from there. They're still current kids on that
Mark
team.
Mark D'Antonio
from Ohio.
Lives in Ohio.
Ugh, that should be enough.
Okay, we can't talk about the big brother. I'm sorry.
Okay.
My bad.
No.
It's little brother week.
How cool is that, right? How cool is that we can say this is little brother week now? That makes me so happy.
Oh, it feels so good. It feels so good.
I didn't know D'Antonio lived in Ohio. Really? He's got a home here?
No.
Okay. You're just ridiculous. Yeah, I called your bluff.
Hey, he recruits from here, so his whole team's from Ohio. So
okay, you weren't being literal. Gotcha.
No,
okay.
I wasn't being literal.
Okay, gotcha.
Joe Dexter and literal in the same sentence, and I don't know if that makes much sense.
Although Michigan State had, am I allowed to say that if I put the state afterwards?
Yes.
Rob Harley was coaching up there, I think, as a grad assistant for a little while. So hopefully he'll get to come back to Ohio and make an impact again.
Definitely.
They definitely do. Desmond Howard is from Ohio, right?
Yep, Desmond Howard is from Ohio. A couple of guys are from Ohio that have been in the rivalry. And it's kind of like, for a basketball guy, it's like the Trey Burke factor. A lot of it is just there's not enough scholarships to go around for all the talent in Ohio.
Man, we missed out on Trey Burke, huh?
Oh, we won't talk about that one.
Okay, one thing I will mention, just as a side note and playing devil's advocate, is that another one of my favorite Buckeyes, Craig Krenzel, is actually from that state up north.
That's true.
He's really, really smart. Literally, he's a very smart guy.
He can sell insurance.
Right, and he knows, yes, exactly. And so he was smart enough to come to Ohio State.
No, not to little him at all, because he is a majority of the reason why Ohio State won that national championship, because of his smarts. But yeah, that's what it's all about. There's 200 miles separating the two.
Krenzel was a molecular genetics major. I don't know why that sticks out. Yeah, molecular genetics. That sticks out in my brain. I have no idea why.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
And I have a degree in journalism.
Clearly, that trumps whatever molecular genetics is. Oh. Hashtag science.
Hashtag I'm losing my mind. I don't even know what to say. Molecular genetics.
I think he eventually wanted to be a doctor if he wasn't going to play football.
I don't know if my genetics are molecular or not. It's the game. It's taking place on Saturday. Of course, it's a holiday for me. It's a holiday for you. The third Saturday in November, when Ohio State meets that team up north. It'll be at Ohio Stadium. Ohio Stadium with the best sellout numbers so far. Number one in attendance this season. So that will continue, we know, on Saturday. I'm pumped.
Did you see that team up north was supposedly second with attendance?
What?
That's why I was like,
buying Coke bottles.
I was going to call BS, but then they had to give the tickets away to get people to show up. So maybe that's accurate.
They're at 104,909. Their home schedule's completed, so they don't have any more home games.
So
they'll probably fall. Penn State's fourth, and Texas A&M is third, and they still have one more home game, so they'll probably
be up there. Yep.
In Ohio State, of course, we got one more. So
yeah, buddy. This is a big one, too. Everybody will be there. That place will be packed.
What are some of your memories from being in Columbus during the game?
Okay, so one of the big ones that stands out to me, well, first of all, my very first Ohio State up north team, I actually won tickets to the game because I won an Ohio State football trivia contest. Imagine that. I went up against all these other people. I even got to go on the radio station for the first round, and then they had this big contest, and I beat out all these other people for Ohio State history trivia. Jack Park is one of my favorite human beings on the planet, and he is encyclopedic. He's actually literally the author of the Ohio State Football Encyclopedia. He was one of my former clients when I was working at a bank here in Columbus. And every time he would come in to see me, to do his banking, we would just have a little chitty chat about Ohio State football and some of the trivia and some of the little history here and there. And I've always followed whatever he's written. And he's just, again, like I could go to sleep listening to like little Jack Park Buckeye football snippets. Yes, that's how much of a Buckeye football nerd I am. But it's one of my absolute favorite things is Buckeye football trivia. So one of my very first games I ever got to go to, I won tickets to, and it was when your first game is the Ohio State Up North team game, it just blows everything else, every other experience out of the water. So it was a huge win, and they ended up like it was when they still had regular like grass field, so people went down on the field and tore up some of the turf, and it was really, really fun. But I was at also one versus two in 2006 and nothing. And I can't even, they were setting things up on, normally, you know, for a big game, you would start to see like in Columbus down on Lane Avenue, you would start to see things pop up, little things here and there, like not necessarily some of the tailgates yet because they don't have the access to do that yet. But like some of the vendors will be setting up some of their carts and things like that. Usually they wait until Saturday, every once in a while for like a bigger game, like when, you know, when USC came to town or when Texas came to town, you'll see some of that stuff on earlier. That stuff was up on Wednesday. I mean, they might as well have closed down Lane Avenue that whole entire week. It was nuts. People were losing their minds. It was awesome.
All right. Well, I told you before we started this podcast that we weren't going to play any games.
Oh,
I think I lied.
Okay.
We got to challenge you, Claire. We got to challenge you. It's time to play Ohio State TTUN Trivia.
Oh, man. I'm rusty, dude. Let's go.
All right, Claire. We'll start with an easy one.
Well, hopefully it's easy for me.
I think it's easy for you.
Okay.
Who in the heck invented gold pants?
Oh, this is totally easy. Okay. So it's Coach Francis Schmidt. And it started in 1934. And funny enough, the score of that game, Ohio State was victorious over that team up north, 34-0. And it started because apparently the Buckeyes were not favored in that game. And there was some like nervousness and tension. And he said to his guys, these guys put on their pants one leg at a time, just like anybody else. So a local jeweler had heard of the story and decided to then commemorate it by giving each of the players a pair of gold pants. Like literally, it's a teeny tiny little pair of gold pants that they wear around a chain. So I think that's the only appropriate thing. And then it's got their info on it, like where it came from and all that. It's something really highly, highly guarded, and it's a big deal. I mean, that's another thing. Like if you've got a pair of gold pants, it's something that you absolutely treasure. And there is such thing as the Gold Pants Club. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Jim Lachey, the color analyst with Big Daddy Paul Keels, might be somehow the president or in charge of the Gold Pants Club. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. I believe it is. And obviously, he was a big impact at Ohio State as well. So it's pretty cool.
I think that if your name is Big Daddy Paul Keels, you should have gold pants. That's just my opinion, but
he certainly has earned a pair, too.
All righty. Let's continue with Ohio State, that team up north trivia.
Okay.
I want you to name one coach from that team up north that did not win a game in the game, and one coach from Ohio State that did not win a game in the game.
Oh, that's a tough one. And any?
It can go. Yep, they did not win one game in the rivalry while coaching.
Ooh.
You can. There. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
There's two recent coaches from both programs that have not won in the game.
Ooh, okay. Coach Fickle, does he count?
Coach Fickle, 0-1 in the
yes.
game.
Yes, I'm so good. And then, did Rich Rod win any? No.
Rich Rod went 0-3 in the round.
Yes, buddy. I'm so good at this game.
Some other coaches that did not win in the game, that's the only coach in... Besides Biff Lee,
I was going to go back to like
100.
Yeah,
for that team up north, he went 0-1.
Uh huh.
Rich Rodriguez went 0-3 for Ohio State. Dave Edwards went 0-1. That was in 1897, his only game. E.R. Sweatland went 0-2. That's from 1904 and 1905, and 1902 to 1903, 0-2 for Perry Hale. 0-1 for Henry Vaughn in 1911, 0-1 for John Richards in 1912, and then Paul Bixler in 1946 went 0-1. Those are the only ones that have not won in the game.
Wow, that's intense. I was going to go with a Wes Fessler. That's an old one, too.
He also went 0-3.
Oh, boom. Two snaps up top for the Clare Bear.
Oh, my God. If I had some money to give you and some tickets. But everything we do here is free.
Okay, this is true.
So we continue and we look at some of the player records in this rivalry. Who rushed for the most yards in the game ever?
I'm going to go with Eddie George.
Close.
Oh, are we talking about either side or Buckeye side?
Either side. We'll start either side.
It's not right, though?
No. It's the last name that'll kill you. It's almost as bad as Kamana Wanalea.
No, it's Tim Biancapituca.
Yes, Tim Biancapituca, 313 yards in 1995. Now... Ohio State record is Carlos Hyde. In 2013, he had 226 rushing yards. All right, Claire, I'll give you like three quarters credit for that because you got it.
Okay. I didn't realize we were going for both sides of the ball, but and after I think about it, it makes sense. Ugh, gross. This is not Desmond Howard.
You want to hear what's even more gross? Your next trivia question.
Oh, dang it. Okay.
Who holds the individual... Muckin team.
Ooh, that was close. I was worried you were having a stroke for a second.
who holds the record for total offense from that team up north in the game?
Oh,
it's nasty.
I was going to say recent.
Recent.
Chad Henne?
No, even nastier than that.
I know who it is. No, please, no, it's not Shoeless.
It's not Shoeless either.
Or Shoelace. Sorry, Shoelace. Not?
No.
Is it a quarterback?
It is a quarterback.
It's not.
It is.
That recent.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Say it.
461 total offensive yards for Devin Gardner in 2020.
No flipping way.
You know who holds the record for Ohio State?
Joe Germain.
He holds the record for passing yards, so that's
close. I'm close. Total offense?
Yep.
Versus that team?
Versus that team up north. It happened in 2004.
Craig Krenzel.
Troy
Smith. That would have been Troy Smith, yeah.
Troy Smith. All right. Who holds the record for tackles in the game, period?
I'm going to go with Andy Katzenmoyer.
That's a good guess, but it's the man before him.
I can't remember who that would have been.
It was a man who did it in 1986, the year I was born.
Would that have been Cousineau?
No.
Tell me.
Chris Spielman.
Oh, dang it.
29 tackles is the record in the game. 29!
Yeah.
I've done less things in my life in 20 years.
Why are you so young, Joe Dexter?
29 Seriously. Tackles. That's unbelievable.
That's insane to me in one game.
I got it.
That makes me feel good.
If I ever talk to Chris Spielman again, I have to ask him if he had IVs like for 2 days.
He had to have. No, he's a beast. That man is like bionic.
So 29 tackles is the all-time record in the game, set by Spielman. And that's just, I don't even know what to say after that.
I did okay. I did okay.
You did pretty good. I had some pretty good guesses, though. I think your guesses were better than the questions actually asked. But that's what we do here at the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour.
We guess.
We make makeshift games.
Widespread assumptions and not much research.
Hey, that's why God created the internet, right?
Exactly right.
It's the game on Saturday. We're all looking forward to it. We're going to have a great Thanksgiving and then enjoy what's culminated into the best sports rivalry out there. Number 6, Ohio State takes on the team up north. Noon, Dave Pasch on the call with Brian Greasy on ABC. Claire, first and foremost, I want to say, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Enjoy.
You too, bud.
Are you going to be able to eat some turkey this year?
Yeah, buddy, I can eat turkey. Turkey equals protein. Protein equals gains, man. Oh. That's what I do, son. So I can have turkey. I can have turkey, I can have sweet potato, I can have cranberry, not the jelly nasty stuff, but nasty. Actual like real cranberry
real
sauce.
Cranberries.
Yeah, it's really good for you. It's very healthy.
You got real cranberries. Yeah,
exactly. I can have lots of veggies, not like, you know, green bean casserole and, you know, whatever else with gravy and butter and all that. But there's tons of stuff that I can have on Thanksgiving. I can even have a little stuffing if I want. I'm not super restricted right now. I'm not getting ready for a show anytime soon. So I'm actually trying to put on some muscle. So yeah, dog, time to eat. Then what's better than leftovers?
Absolutely.
During when you're watching the game, man, make a little panini with some turkey stuffing, cranberry. Maybe a little brie.
It's time for recipes with Claire Crawford.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
First and foremost, I am picturing you now. I'm going to sit down during Thanksgiving, and I'm going to picture you with two forks looking at your turkey going, what now? What now?
In a muscle shirt. Can I please be wearing like a tank
there
top?
You go.
Oh, man. Maybe I'll just go with the entire turkey leg like we talked about with the smoke. Maybe just like a savage. Like an absolute savage. Like our
an
boy.
Absolute savage. That's the only way you attack Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like an absolute savage. And my boy Jimmy Preston.
And then I'm picturing you now on Saturday with the little panini.
Yeah, with a little panini. And then comes my girly side. That encompasses me at 100%. All right, what about you?
I'll be enjoying it with family, which will be nice.
I
haven't been able to do that very consistently throughout the years, but now that we've moved here to Greensboro area, we'll be by family, so we'll be able to enjoy it with family, and it'll be my daughter's first Thanksgiving.
First Thanksgiving, yeah.
So she's going to try some turkey.
Oh, fancy.
She's had sweet potatoes and peas.
Yeah.
But she gets turkey for the first time with a little bit of milk, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Oh, man. She's going to sleep really good.
And if she's a Dexter, she'll know what to do.
Oh, buddy. Well, yeah, I can't imagine. That makes me really, really happy. I get to spend it with my family, too. So it'll be fun. It's my baby sister's first Thanksgiving that she's hosting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then I just want to watch the Buckeyes hang like 75 on that team up north.
Oh, that'd be awesome. The record for Ohio State is 50 in the game.
We can do that.
We can.
That's doable.
Let's get above that. Let's get above that.
I said we. I meant they, but you know what I mean.
Hey, it's the time of giving. It's the time of family. You can.
It
say,
is.
You can say we.
It's the collective consciousness. We the Buckeyes need all of our spirit and our motivation behind them. So I'll say we for that game.
And you're part of it, Claire. You're part of it.
Exciting.
You know,
right?
We got some great news. Claire Crawford, the Claire Crawford.
Oh.
Is in a new fan documentary called Nuts, right? It's called Nuts.
Yep. Nuts and then semicolon # the best damn fans in the land. And it's a new movie by a really talented filmmaker, and it's by Mind Twin Media, and he kind of went all over and found Buckeye fans, true Buckeye fans, and I'm really honored to be part of the film. It's a small part, and He talks to some of what we call the super fans. There's a part in the documentary about the Neutron Man and his roots as a super fan, and just what it means to be a Buckeye fan and what it means to be a part of, again, like I said before, this collective consciousness of people and what it means to be a Buckeye. And one of the most poignant questions that was asked in the entire documentary was, what would life be like without not just Buckeye football, but without Buckeye fans and without being a Buckeye? And to watch these people throughout the documentary spout about how glad that they were Buckeye and how entrenched that they are and how deep it is, it was like, why would you ever ask a question like that? Like, is that a life worth living? And it's true. It's hard to believe. And from a Buckeye fan standpoint, I can't imagine what I would have without having, the Buckeyes in my life. So I'm thankful for it. That's one thing that I'm thankful for. And if you want to check out the film, it's great. It's streaming online as we speak, and they're still trying to have a theater debut as well. So if you want to go check out the film, it's at BuckeyeNationMovie.com. So you'll be able to check it out there and look for some of your, if you're local to Columbus, Lori Schmidt is in the film. Gordon Gee is in the film prevalently. Actually, my ex-brother-in-law is a Captain Ohio. He's one of the super fans. You'll see Buckeye Guy and Larry Loci and John Big Nut Peters and some of the even folks from all over the world that come and talk about what it means to be a Buckeye fan. It's a really cool film, and it'll get you pumped up to watch the game this weekend.
The best damn fans in the land, nuts.
We are nuts.
Actually, it's nuts. The best damn fans in the land.
Yep.
One nation under Brutus. And it reminds us this Thanksgiving time what we're thankful for. And Buckeye athletics, man, and Buckeye Nation is one thing that's definitely what I'm thankful for.
I am too. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that you get to spend Thanksgiving with your family and I get to spend Thanksgiving with my family. And I'll be really, really thankful for a Buckeye win on Saturday. A big one.
And thankful for our staff at the Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yes.
And the family that we've formed. And Claire, thankful to be able to do this podcast with you every week.
I'm thankful and honored, dude. It's an honor.
It's the Buckeyes and that team up north. I ain't saying it. I'm not going to breathe it. I'm not even going to think it.
15 push-ups you owe me, dude.
Noon, Saturday, ABC. Be there. Be square. Be a Buckeye. Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
For more on the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, visit iTunes or check out our media page. For more Buckeye news and notes, visit www.thebuckeyebattlecry.com.